Welcome to Sappy Fest Radio, CHMA 106.9 FM. I'm your host and creative director, Stephen Lamke, and very happy to welcome to the show today's special guest, Adam Sturgeon of Whoopsu. How are you, Adam?
I'm good. Nice. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm well. It's a gray, rainy day here in Sackville, but you know, everything is just fine, I'll say.
Yeah. Rain out east is beautiful, isn't it?
It's been a wet spring, and I'm trying my hand at gardening for the first time on any sort of significant level. And it's still fairly insignificant level, I should clarify. It's been wet. I think some things are too wet. I go out to the garden every morning and every evening and pick slugs away from my growing kale and spinach plants. And the slugs, by the day, are getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Nice.
They like the wet, I think.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's going to rain on us, too. We're in Thunder Bay, and we're leaving for Sault Ste. Marie very shortly. It will rain.
I hope that you have a smooth and safe drive despite the rain. And thank you for joining us in the middle of a tour.
My pleasure. We just got a couple shows left, really. So it's nice to check in. And then, you know, I'm almost done, I guess, really.
Are you in the van, or have you crept away to a quiet place for the sake of the
conversation? I'm in a quiet spot, yeah. Yeah, I'm nice. Sitting out back of the Apollo.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. The legendary Apollo.
You picture it?
It's been years, and my memory is not great, but yes. Yes, I
can. Staring at a casino.
Yeah.
Good.
You are on tour with Whoopsu. You're spending a lot of time together in the van. And I want to ask you about how the band operates and about your own sort of thoughts about your activities as a band. I spent last night going through your catalog, your quite extensive catalog of music at this point. You've been a band for 10 years. Is that sort of the ballpark?
Yeah, we started in Guelph about 10 years ago. It was Kirsten and myself, and eventually we kind of like tagged on a local drummer. We made Brad from Kazoo play bass for a while, and then our drummer sister joined the band. And so that was kind of like our first 2 or 3 years. As I transitioned to school in London, and Kirsten also went to school in London, so we made that move. It was actually London or Thunder Bay, so I'm sitting here earlier kind of envisioning what everything would have been like, which would have been much different, I think. So yeah, we went to London, and at that point we got hooked up with you know, just a bunch of kids who were making daring music, and we're learning to be good people, and we started touring with a bunch of other bands, Wild Domestic and I Smell Blood and all these bands that I was releasing through my Out of Sound label, and as those bands kind of dwindled out, all the kind of overly committed members kind of jumped on board with our band. And so in about 2014, we started touring, and we really haven't stopped. And then there's just, you know, all the other stuff that comes along with the band, but definitely the touring thing has seemed to be, I don't know, for one reason or another, just our pace, it's just kind of go, 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 I guess.
And from my point, my perspective here, and like going through this, and also in these, in the way hearing you describe it, even there, it seems like a lot of the impulse is towards some sort of building of community or building of connections, whether that's, you know, your work with the record label or, you know, going to Saluit or, it seems like as much as the impulse is to be a great band and to make fantastic records, it looks like there's something else going on beyond that.
Well, yeah, the truth is that when Kirsten and I started the band, we met because our dads were in a wellness program together, and we started using music as a vehicle to kind of like take care of ourselves. I think that's really hard to do on tour, though. But that aside, the kind of idea that we embody is to take care of ourselves. Like I have to take care of myself first. So to be a community builder, I think that you need to be in a good place yourself, which I wasn't always. And I wasn't always during the band, but the band was supposed to be, or like the music, the writing of the music and the looking in to oneself was supposed to be a type of reflection, but also kind of like a personal call out or something. And yeah, when I started writing more from the Indigenous perspective, more like through a process of reclamation, it was for me. So I didn't realize that the movement was taking shape, you know, the Indigenous Next Wave stuff. I didn't know that that was happening. It was only over the course of the last couple few years that that our name is maybe being associated with that just a little bit. And yeah, it's nice to be a part of a community. It's nice to build awareness for my community, and it's a responsibility that I have, but it kind of just goes without saying. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm just taking care of myself, and the more I do that, the more that I can be a good community member. And to do that with music and touring and things along those lines is, well, for me, it's a way to connect to people, because I think I grew up very socially weird and didn't have the best social skills, and through music I found them. So I feel really fortunate for that. And now, yeah, we've traveled all over, and in that regard, it's about understanding the truth about Canada. You know, when you go to Regina and you sit with a camp at the legislature, or when you go to Saluit and you have to fly into the community, you have to have your food flown in, you have to, you know, all these things that that the average Canadian doesn't really get to see per se in their circles, in their larger cities or whatever. Those are things that are really, really important to me, and I feel, well, I don't know how I feel about it. I feel confused about it. But I take a lot of joy in the process, as do my bandmates, just touring and getting around and supporting people, throwing up our back line. That's what we do.
It's such a particular way to travel and engage. And, you know, I've been lucky enough to get to travel parts of the world and certainly Canada, like doing that. And, you know, as an artist, like you come into different towns with a particular job or purpose, maybe more accurately than job, and that introduces you to people in certain ways, and at its best, you know, allows conversations to happen and learning then, you know, and connection.
Totally. And the juxtaposition of it all is that, you know, it's like a lot of late night fast food joints and gas stations.
Yeah, which is the very hard thing on a mind and body, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking about this question a lot about, you know, from the perspective of Sappy Fest, and you know, every year we invite, you know, our friends and our hopefully expanding circle of friends and artists that we're excited by to come and participate.
Hello?
Are those seagulls?
Yeah, those are seagulls. Sorry, okay. You cut out there just for a second.
I was getting to a point where I was trying to describe Sappy Fest as a in some ways it looks like a temporary community that comes together, and it can be a very special event seen through that lens. But after 13 years, it's maybe less a temporary community than a ritualistic or reconvening that can happen as an annual event. And I know that you're also involved with Grickle Grass Festival and the Winter Spectacular Festival in London.
Yeah.
And I'm curious about your thoughts of gathering, you know, people together and what the sort of goals are for you when you do that side of your work.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess my thoughts on a Sappy Fest or a hillside or we're really excited. We're also playing River and Sky this summer. It seems like they're kind of like, for lack of a better term, kind of like pilgrimages, you know, gatherings, which is the way that our cultures used to work on these lands, is that in the good seasons, all the people would gather, usually on the water, and celebrate life, and do that through song and dance and conversation. So those things are really wonderful, and to recreate the experiences in a modern day is interesting. It's really fun. Grickle Grass happens at the London Regional Children's Museum. By day, it's a fundraiser for sustainable living choices for young people. It's a children's festival in a children's museum. And then at the nighttime, we use that as a vehicle to raise the funds and turn over the building, the dwelling, to a party. So we reconfigure each room. There's a tree, there's a space station, you know, or a tree forward space station, all these things that create an experience. And for people growing up in London, they have a significant attachment to the Children's Museum. To be totally honest, it's totally outdated. It has one more year left, and we're not sure what's going to happen with the festival because the new space, it just doesn't seem like it will be the right thing for what we've been trying to do. So it's hard to say whether we'll continue that on. I don't know if I'm answering your question, but you know, gatherings are just so such a natural way of being, and with the festivals, the way that communities come together, sometimes it seems like particular sounds or just particular ways of being as an artist kind of draw you. You know, it always feels very natural, the selection for my festivals.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I mean, I guess I'm not asking specific questions. I'm just asking you to share your thoughts. And so I'm super appreciative that that's what you're doing. So thank you. I'm curious about, you're an Indigenous artist. Most of your bandmates are not. Is that right? Or none of them are?
None of them are. Yeah. Kirsten's Finnish, so she's cultured as all hell. her particular way of life, I would say, is probably more natural than mine ever has been or will be. And her family are also musicians, so they're huge inspirations and leaders for us. I'm the only Indigenous member of my band. I'm mixed blooded, so my mom is a white woman, and my dad's an Anishinaabe, and together we shall be. I was told growing up that because of the way I look, that there will be a lot of places that I get to go that a lot of my people don't get to go. And so I have a responsibility to build that awareness. And I feel that when our band plays, there's a lot of times when I feel like I'm the only person in the room that's thinking about things from that decolonial context, that the things I'm saying might be passed by because someone doesn't understand that. But it's just the way it is.
It's fascinating to me because like hearing you talk about your work, whether that's with the band or with the festival, like you are very conscious of your indigenous thinking, to use maybe a really clumsy and awkward excuse me term for that, but also like processes informed by your learning about that culture, and you're bringing it into very different contexts, I think, and I just think that's really interesting. And Whoopsu, like you mentioned earlier, has been connected in some ways with Indigenous Next Wave, practices and or not practices, but some of the bands associated with that or artists associated with that, but not always, and you haven't always been seen in that context.
No, we still don't fit the mold really, but that's okay. I never, like, as I said, I was doing it for myself. The first song that we wrote was a song called Oju. Oju means hello. But it means more than that when you learn the teachings. And so I was learning about our trickster character, Wayne Abujo. It's a rabbit. It's kind of like a Jesus character. He has good days and bad days, but it's not so heaven and hell. And it was just an instrumental song because I didn't know what to say about it, but it was supposed to be kind of like the journey that Wayne Abujo takes. And like, I was just doing that for myself to remember the teaching and to put that forward in my own life. And that a few folks caught on to that. People like Jarrett Martineau, who reached out to me one time. We were in Victoria. He reached out and was like, I noticed you have a lot of Anishinaabe Mohin lyrics and stuff like that. What's that all about? And that's kind of like when that side of things started to click. But aside from that, it was just about taking care of myself and doing the best work I could for my community as an aside. And I know I've already said that, but it's a really important thing. I just feel really responsible to building proper awareness of Canadian history. My grandfather was in residential schools, so that makes me a part of the community, but our communities are supposed to stand in circles and put our minds together as individuals. I just have my own unique story. My family has its own unique story. It's traumatic. And it's just my responsibility to my family.
Well, I think you're taking that responsibility, and you're making really wonderful and beautiful art out of it. And it's a thrill for me as a fan, and to follow that journey. I'm a white Canadian, like settler, for lack of a better term, or one that I find less that I would like to be less associated with, but. And Sappy Fest is occurring on unceded land, and these are all like incredibly complex, situations we find ourselves in. And I'm a believer in art as a way to have that conversation. And so I'm just thrilled that you guys are coming to perform for us this summer and to, spend the weekend with us. I don't know how to navigate these issues other than to like really try to listen. And so once again, I really appreciate you sharing your thoughts and your experiences.
Well, Steve, it doesn't feel like you're place holding for anybody, you know. There, it's just it's a natural occurrence that good artists are coming. You're always, like, you know, there's lots of people in the music community who are supporting various types of music. I mean, sometimes we get pegged with like metal music or whatever, and when you go into those boxes, things become a lot less diverse. I'm a huge fan of lots and lots of music, and I always like it when people have something to say. Music can be fun too. Like, it's supposed to be a fun process. The whole process also doesn't have to be a crazy academic thing. You know, my day job, I have to work with people experiencing homelessness. The conversations that I have with our people out on the street are not in the same places as they are in a, I don't know, in a boardroom or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, the issues are super, super complex. And what do we do with it? Well, again, we focus on ourselves and how we can be the best open-minded, open-hearted humans. And when we move forward together with a sense of empathy and we just walk a little bit lighter. I guess.
Yeah, and I want to be clear that, like, I did not mean to give any impression that there was any kind of, like, placeholding or like, you know, checking of boxes, like, in any of the invitations, you know, to the artists for Sappy Fest. That was definitely not the thought process. It was more, I was trying to make a statement more of celebrating that, like, art is the most thrilling when it's opening up new thoughts and new ideas and experiences for the listener or the person engaging with it. And so it's the amount of voices that are maybe getting heard and recognized in a new way right now is pretty exciting, I have to say.
Yeah, it is. It's awesome.
You made a little reference to metal there, and there is something I really want to ask you, because Whoopsoo Live is often quite like a heavy, heavy band. There's a lot of rock.
Can't help it.
What's that?
Can't help it.
I love it. I have had totally transcendent experiences playing really loud rock music, listening to really loud rock music, and I get it. I'm thrilled by it on, like, a primal level. But I'm curious about your thoughts about how that interacts with the idea of connecting and maybe building community. Because at a certain point, once the drums are really loud and the guitars are really loud and the PA is really loud, the performer enters a place where their voice is the only one that can be heard in that moment.
Yeah, I think about that too. Maybe you just gotta, like, push it to the limit. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always felt that way. I've done a lot of sound in a lot of bad rooms for a lot of quiet artists, and it just seemed like a really tough thing. I feel a bit vulnerable when I'm just writing songs in my room on an acoustic guitar. That is how I do it, for the most part. I don't know. We play to the drums, you gotta let your drummer free.
Absolutely.
So, we can't help it. We can't help it so loud. We have been playing some folk shows. It was supposed to be stripped back, but it ended up being a lot more involved than that for us. We're excited about it. A lot of our new songs are kind of folky. For us, we've gotten you guys don't sound like your record, or like your records don't sound like your live show, and kind of some of these binary ideas. And I'm, as a lot of people know, a huge fan of Rick White's catalog, which I think is super diverse. They were the first kind of stoner rock band that I ever heard that made sense. And, you know, you have quiet stuff on an album, loud stuff on an album, random weird sound collages, and those are the best albums. And so when we're criticized for that, I kind of take it to heart. Not really. I just think it's a shallow impression, but I do understand that maybe we haven't made that big production because we've always recorded ourselves, but we get better at it each time. The drums get recorded better, louder. The mixes get a bit better. All those things that make me not a purist, like I kind of envision Rick White stuff to be. Yeah. But then I think about him and how he's kind of off in his little world there, or his big world. And I don't know. I wish they were the most famous band in the world.
Yeah, and, you know, I think for a lot of us, like, we miss there being a new Elevator record or a new Rick White record every few months or every, you know, year.
So, yeah.
I think you're not alone in maybe wanting more of that coming out, but I guess he's on his own path and making his own way.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah, the collage nature of especially some of the earlier Whoopsie records, I was reminded last night when I did go through everything again, it's really appealing, I have to say. And the lo-fi criticism is really peculiar because the way in which everyone engages and listens to music now is often so, so compromised that any sort of you know, appeal or criticism about fidelity seems kind of misplaced. And I think those records sound fantastic. You know, they sound like a very interesting document of where and how they were made.
Yeah, I mean, we started on a quarter inch 4-track, moved to a half inch 8-track, and, you know, when we went to Siloed, as you mentioned earlier, that was a fly-in community. You know, I had to ship a suitcase with as much equipment as I could and use some of the equipment that was up in the community already. And, you know, we worked with some of the kids on that album. So, you know, there's more to it. It's a blip in our time map. And I like the lo-fi thing. Come on.
You were there for quite a long time. Am I right? Like, this wasn't just like a week or a weekend sort of experience.
No, it was off and on for 2 years for me, but Kirsten was living there. She was a teacher there. And so she was there for almost 5 years, I think. But that's the thing when you work in indigenous populations, so often what ends up happening is little do-gooders come in and they do a quick project and then they're gone. You know, they come in and they're gone, and everyone puts their humanitarian pin on their lapel and away they go. Ultimately, the challenges of living in a remote fly-in community are tenfold. Issues with water and how that affects you. Issues with youth suicide and those things, they really weigh on you. Ultimately, our first album there was called Halanat, which means white person. But kind of in the end, we took that context as guests, you know. The program that we set up there, it was a youth screen printing program. We won an award for that. And we trained a small number of individuals on that art practice and taught them some other skills along the way. And the idea of that program was for it to continue without us needing to be there, because what we need to do is empower our communities to provide the skills to those communities so they can take them forward for themselves. And I think we nearly accomplished that goal. It was our first attempt, but we did have that awareness going in that we weren't just going there to like put this notch in our belt. We were going there to have a direct impact. And when you do that, it weighs on you, because there's always more that you can do. Yeah, we missed it there a lot.
And have you stayed in touch with any of the people you were working with up there? Any of the kids or the artists that maybe you had contribute to what came out as that album?
Yeah, a little bit. There was a young rapper there who was a cool kid. His name was Larry T. He actually intros the record. If you play the record, the first voice you hear is like a hip hop kid, and he seems to be doing pretty okay. And there was one gal who really took to screen printing, and you know, she's gone on to higher education, and she lives in Montreal. And we're really proud of her. But yeah, I still feel like my impact on their lives was insignificant. I feel like all this journeying and traveling still kind of, it's still maybe for me or something. Like I still have a lot to learn in my social work, for lack of a better term. You know, I'm trying to learn about our history, and I still feel young, and that the journey is kind of mine. But now I'm a parent, so I have to focus on my family and pass those skills on to my children. But yeah, I'm not an elder or anything like that, so it's hard for me to know what's next. We've got a same program we did in Salua. It was this youth entrepreneurial silkscreen program, apprenticeship program, where interns are provided a wage to learn art skills, which makes a lot of sense for Indigenous communities, because access and resources are not as available. So you know, art can sometimes be looked at as a hobby. And, you know, hobby means you got the disposable time and income, which is not always the case. So we finally started to work on setting up that program in London in a more permanent way. And I'm happy to report that this mentorship program's taken off and our... Uh-oh, there's a plane going by. I hope you can hear me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this program's going to take off at home, and you know, setting up a little bit more roots. But yeah, there's a lot to learn still.
I mean, the way that all this stuff intersects with your work as an artist is like, I don't have a specific question about it. It's just, it's really fascinating to me. And I think that's like, you know, the artist as a community member is a model that is not well understood or well celebrated in at least settler Canada. So it's really wonderful to hear about these, you know, these thoughts and projects you're involved with, and just to hear your approach and your sense of responsibility as being like an actual driving force, both to yourself and to the people you're engaging with.
We need to have good teachers, I think, and I'm lucky that I have had some that have helped me out a lot to learn those skills.
Yeah.
Sometimes it feels like a lot of people don't have that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can be very disheartening. You know, we really have to work on our privileges more.
Absolutely. What is next for Whoopsoo?
We're playing this great festival called Sappy Fest.
And we can't wait to see you.
Yeah, we finished recording a record. It's the record that sounds a lot more like our live show. We're happy with it. Maybe a little more straightforward for us. But I think people will like it. So that'll come out sometime next year. I'm not sure when or how, but it is in the works. And hopefully we're just taking the rest of this year down a little bit. We do have a 7-inch coming out, and it's a bunch of Kirsten songs, and she's written a story. So we're kind of publishing our first book. We've been touring a 7-inch that was put out on a coffee roastery and international punk record label. And they helped us go to, Mexico. So, we feel really fortunate about that. And it's just neat to do, these involved kind of DIY projects.
How was the trip to Mexico? You were there this spring for a tour. Had you ever gone before?
That was my first time to Mexico. The tour was absolutely incredible. I could talk all day about how incredible the food is in Mexico. And I could also talk forever about how amazing the hospitality was. And the shows were great. So everything was groovy. We were there for 2 weeks. We recorded some songs in a studio, and we worked with a percussionist down there who kind of like focused on decolonial sounds, pre-colonial sounds. Sorry. Little bit of diesel vehicle there. This is a real impromptu, Steve. I'm sorry.
That's quite all right. This is, you know, we appreciate you speaking to us from the field, you know, from the road. In case you've just tuned in, I am speaking to Adam Sturgeon of Whoopsoo. This is Sappy Fest Radio on CHMA 106.9 FM. I think Adam might be finding a way to a quieter spot. Are you still there, Adam?
I'm still here. How's the sound?
I can hear you. I can hear you fine. I could hear you at all points. Sometimes there was other sounds as well, but only in a way that added to the reality of, you know, the conversation.
Yeah, we have a big old diesel, so it started raining on me, and we're also hitting the road, so I apologize for the chaos there.
Absolutely, no problem. Perhaps I understand that, you know, on tour there's many things to do in the morning, such as eat breakfast and begin driving, and I understand if you do have to go at this point, and thank you for spending this time with us this morning.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. We're all really stoked to come out for Sappy Fest. We're talking about trying to bring our families and some other friends who are also bringing their families. Yeah, so we're very excited.
Okay, wonderful. We can't wait to see you. Drive safe the rest of this tour. Please keep well until we see you in just a few weeks. Perhaps we should play a song as we say goodbye. Is there a Whoopsoo song that you would prefer that I play right now?
Did you folks receive our new 7-inch?
I have the Dive 7-inch here, yes, on your Bandcamp, which I have open, so I can play that.
That would be cool.
Okay, right on. Adam Sturgeon of Whoopsoo, thank you so much for joining me on Sappy Fest Radio this morning. Your time and thoughts are very appreciated, and keep up the good work.
Thanks a lot, Steve. You too, man.
Okay, thanks, Adam. We'll see you in a few weeks at Sappy Fest 13 here in Sackville, New Brunswick.
Awesome.
Okay. And this is The Dive by Whoopsoo.